back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, brought to you by this lovely Thursday evening where it's 6 o'clock and there's still some sunlight outside, but always with my broadcast partner in crime, as always, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going pretty well, actually. I think things are on the up and up. Like you said, it's 6 o'clock and the sun's still out. We're kind of coming out of the dog days of winter here. It's still been somewhat bitter cold these past few days. And we're also supposed to get like 75 degree weather this weekend, but it's supposed to be rainy, which sucks.
On Sunday.
Yeah. So that's kind of a bummer. But that'll be like one of our first warm days we've had. And then actually next Saturday is already daylight savings. So, we'll spring ahead, but we will lose an hour of valuable sleep, but we will gain an hour of sunlight and the days will feel longer. And they'll just feel better, I feel like.
Where I'm
everyone will
trade-off.
Start to be in a better mood. Things will just be better all around. But transitioning into our podcast out of our weather report,
yes,
things are not better in the world. We've had politics. I mean, this has happened before, obviously, with the social injustice and all this. But we've had politics once again have leaked into the sports world. And we're going to bring you the information how it's affected the hockey world. Unless you live under a rock, you know that just over a week ago, Russia invaded Ukraine, and the fighting has been going on since then, with just Russian forces trying to get to the capital of Kiev. And I mean, again, you know what's going on unless you live under a rock. You know all these storylines that have come out of it, all the sadness, it's messed up what's going on. But we're gonna keep it to the hockey side of things. We won't get too political here. But we do have statements that have come out in the prior days to today. That's the word I'm looking for. From the NHL, the IIHF, the International Ice Hockey Federation, and EA Sports of all things.
And CCM too. I know CCM.
And CCM, yeah. Yes. So we can start off obviously with the NHL. But actually this is courtesy of our local paper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, from Gus Elvin, published back on the 28th of February, so last week. The NHL
that was just on Monday.
Sorry, you're right. It's Monday. Forgot how short February was, and it's already March. But released on Monday, the NHL released a statement condemning Russia's invasion of Ukraine, saying, quote, "The National Hockey League condemns Russia's invasion of Ukraine and urges a peaceful resolution as quickly as possible. Effective immediately, we are suspending our relationships with our business partners in Russia, and we are pausing our Russian language, social, and digital media sites. In addition, we are discontinuing any consideration of Russia as a location for any future competitions involving the NHL. We also remain concerned about the well-being of the players from Russia who play in the NHL on behalf of their NHL clubs and not on behalf of the country of Russia. We understand they and their families are being placed in an extremely difficult position." This statement came 4 days after Russia's invasion of Ukraine and after several players, including Capitals center, obviously Alex Ovechkin, who is obviously from Russia, have publicly called for peace. Just a footnote on Ovechkin. You kind of knew it was going to happen, that people were going to be looking for quotes from him and other prominent Russian players like Panarin, Svechnikov, any other Russian players. You felt like they were going to get asked about what was going on. And again, they have to walk an extremely fine line because they have family and friends that are in Russia. And knowing what we know about Russia and how shady they are, They have to say the exact right words. Otherwise, they put their friends and family in danger, and possibly even themselves. We saw what happened with Panarin a few months ago when that KHL coach was slandering him for sexually assaulting someone. Like, and he had to go basically into hiding with his family. So it's like Russia's crazy. And they do all this backdoor stuff that can hurt people and can make people disappear. Like it's we make fun of it to some degree, but it happens. So and then earlier that day as well, the International Ice Hockey Federation, the IIHF, also condemned Russia's actions in Ukraine and subsequently suspended all Russian and Belarusian teams, both national and club teams, from participating in any IIHF competitions, quote, until further notice. Just a part of their statement here. During an extraordinary meeting held on Monday, the 28th of February, the IIHF Council evaluated the impact of the current war. We strongly condemn the use of military force in Ukraine and urge the use of diplomatic means to solve conflict. The IIHF Council has decided to take the following actions. Suspension of all Russian and Belarusian national teams and club teams from participation in every age category in all IIHF competitions or events until further notice. Withdrawal of the 2023 IIHF World Junior Championship hosting rights from Russia. That's pretty much it. Those sanctions are more than enough. And then there was a statement from the IIHF president, Luke Tardif. This is like a couple paragraphs. I won't really go into this. But yeah, I mean, it's just it's Russia. The hockey world has brought down the hammer on the country of Russia. USA Hockey also followed up a statement on Monday afternoon supporting the IIHF's decision. Just a quick quote from them. Quote, their statement, "Our hearts and prayers are with the people of Ukraine as they defend their country. USA Hockey fully supports the IIHF and its decision to not allow Russian and Belarus to host or participate upcoming world championships. The actions of Vladimir Putin and the support from Belarusian government officials are beyond reprehensible." So, I mean, you're seeing the repercussions of this war throughout the, obviously throughout the world, but also, again, it's leaked into sports. Dave, I'll give you the talking stick here after I go over the all-important, I'm being sarcastic but serious here, the all-important statement from EA Sports, NHL. They came out with a statement just yesterday, yes, they, quote, said, "Following the IIHF suspension of all Russian and Belarusian national and club teams from IIHF competitions, we will be removing these teams from NHL 22 within the coming weeks. We stand with the people of Ukraine and join the voices around the world calling for peace." So, again, Russia just kind of being, I guess for lack of better terms, erased and also just barred from all these things as well, as they should be. Again, I think it's more obviously on the government side of things, and the players that are in the NHL really don't have anything to do with what's going on over there. And you feel for them because they've been getting, I mean, we've seen articles where their agents have said they're getting death threats or they're being discriminated against, but they're just playing hockey. Like, they're trying to make money, and they hope their family and friends are safe over there. So they're just trying to do their job, and They're walking that fine line between saying the right thing because they don't want to get any sort of retaliation against them. Dave, also, again, I think you'll probably touch on this, but CCM did announce that it was also pretty much, it's dropping its athletes in the NHL from Russia, most prominently Alex Ovechkin.
Well, they're just dropping, using them in advertisements.
Yes.
They're still going to have their CCM sponsorships, and they're still going to get paid, mm-hmm. but they're no longer going to be used in public advertising.
Gotcha. So with that, I'll let you take the talking stick. I do have a couple more things, but I'll let you give your thoughts here. And I was just going to give a couple examples of how in the last couple days we've seen the NHL voicing its support for Ukraine. But I'll let you give your thoughts here on the situation at hand. If you want to get political, feel free. But we'll try and keep it within the realm of the hockey world for podcasting sake.
I mean, obviously, we can, of course, say this podcast and we stand with Ukraine. Yeah. This is the action of one crazy man in Vladimir Putin. And we have the luxury of calling him a crazy man because we live in the grand old US of A, where we have this lovely thing given to us by the Constitution called freedom of speech. That does not exist in Russia and their satellite mini nations like Belarus. That is a fairy tale. That is a joke to them. So to all these people who are mad with Ovechkin and what, Ovechkin's a slippery slope because he's always been a noted Putin defender. But what choice does he really have? Adam Wilde touched on this in the Steve Dangle podcast that dropped yesterday. Russia's always kind of done this with their athletes, with Russia essentially being a dictatorship going back to their days as the USSR, you know, with being with figureheads in power that elect themselves and kill off essentially all their opponents. They need superstars and famous people to help keep their power in line. So they go after the movie stars, the athletes, and they use them as puppet heads to keep everyone in line. And if you don't, you're dead. Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally that black and white over there. Now, I get it. Ovechkin has posted some really crappy things in the past, and this whole Russian, the whole Russian PR stunt where they're calling Ukraine fascists and neo-Nazis is incredibly stupid and not true. It's just their excuse for wanting to invade a country that used to be theirs. But what, you know, what position would you want Ovechkin to say? Like, what if he says, you know, this is wrong, Putin is doing something, you know, wrong and immoral, and he should be tried for war crimes? Well, guess what? The KGB is going to show up at Ovechkin's family's house in Russia and kill his family or take him hostage. Yeah. Like, and you can't pretend that's not going to happen, because that's what would have, that is what would have happened. And it's like, it's a slippery slope too, because, like, you know, if Joe Biden were to do something controversial, or ex-president Donald Trump were to do something, you know, on this scale, would us Western viewed people, Canadian Americans, be asking players like Phil Kessel or TJ Oshie, or Kyle Connor, you know, to or Ryan McDonough, will we be demanding that they speak out against their president? No, you probably wouldn't, you know. But Russia's the bad guy, and, you know, it's, you know, everyone's unified against them, and since they're Russian people, they're easy to attack at. But, you know, you wish Ovechkin and other Russian players could really speak their actual thoughts on this matter. Maybe not Ovechkin, knowing that we do know he's a noted Putin supporter, but other Russian players like Panarin, you know, who have gone out of their way to speak their mind before. You know, Panarin had to go home. He had to leave the Rangers in the middle of the season to go defend himself and make sure his family was safe due to false accusations because he attacked Vladimir Putin. You know, it stinks. And Russia really is it's all around a very terrible situation. But you hear reports, even Russian soldiers don't want to be doing this. Like, you've heard reports of whole Russian units surrendering to Ukrainian soldiers saying, hey, this is not what we want. And thousands of Russian citizens were arrested for protesting against the war. Mm. So it's just, this is clearly, these are all the acts of one man and the Russian oligarchs who are crazy people. And that's what Vladimir Putin is. And they're the ones who are held responsible. And unfortunately, you know, there's a fine line. Like, this is being handled politically very wise by NATO and by the remaining, you know, European nations in our country by putting the sanctions. Like, the ruble is crashing. Like, the Russian stock market fell 40% the first day of this invasion after everyone put the sanctions on them. Like, they are losing all of their money. They have no assets. For outside of hockey real quick, the Chelsea football team in London was owned by a Russian oligarch. He is selling the team, but he might not get any of that money back because that's an asset that was frozen. That's how the rest of the world is kind of saying bad Russia, because no one really wants to get involved in a potential World War III by sending troops or soldiers over there. You know, hope you're hoping this can come to a diplomatic response. But all these responses by CCM, by the NHL, by EA Sports, at the end of the day, they're not really going to do anything at all. but it's still the right thing to do. Like, it's still sending a message like, hey, you know what? Your government decided to do this. So now here's a punishment for people who think that's a good thing. Yeah, it sucks for the average Joe, but you know what? Sometimes the mistake of one ruins the fun for all others. So deal with it. I have seen some other things online that I disagree with completely, where they're talking about banning Russian players from upcoming drafts. Like, these are just kids, you know? Unless they're fighting a war on the secret hand side and are secretly, you know, doing Putin's bidding, like, you're really going to, you know, put blame on a 15-year-old kid? Like, to me, that doesn't make any sense. But luckily, that hasn't happened yet. But you're seeing people calling for it online, which is crazy. But that's what social media is. It's mass banana lands. But no, this is the world we live in right now. And the people who say, God, I just want sports to not be political. Sports has always been political. From day one of sports. You know, it is intertwined in our society in every fabric. So you can't escape it. And it's unfortunately something that we have to talk about on our hockey podcast because there are actions that affect the NHL. Like, you bet the NHL was probably trying to do something to set up like a European stadium series or a European, you know, the series openers or maybe against the KHL team. Well, that's out the window. And of course, you got, going back to hockey, you've got KHL teams. You have two teams. One team, I believe Dynamo Riga in Latvia, has left the league completely. And Jokerit in Finland, forfeited the playoffs. They're like, we're not playing. And then, of course, you've got the good old KHL English Twitter profile blocking fans, myself included, who just tweeted them a Ukrainian flag emoji. More and more cementing the KHL as just the biggest joke league in the world. And you could, one can only hope that with all these sanctions in place and how much the ruble is crashing, the KHL can fall apart and there can actually become like a legitimate super league over in Europe that's not insanely corrupt. But yeah, those are all my thoughts on the matter. It's just super shitty. You don't know what to say because Russia right now is committing war crimes. Like, by quote unquote accident, they bombed a Holocaust memorial in Kiev. Like, mm-hmm. what are you doing? And the fact that you have Russia's own infantry and soldiers surrendering on their own will because they don't want to be doing this, it's clear it's all the actions and it's all the plans of one crazy, crazy person. Who hopefully at the end of this is removed from power.
Very well said. So. Very in depth as well, Dave.
I tried to keep it all making sense.
I know. It's all good. But we've seen the hockey community rally around Ukraine in the past few days. Just last night in Seattle, the Kraken had my phone locks on me. Actually, I'll go to this first. So on Monday, on Tuesday, sorry. On Tuesday in Winnipeg, the Jets had the Husli Ukrainian male chorus sing both the Ukrainian and the Canadian national anthem ahead of their game. It was actually really cool. And then just last night, the Kraken and the Predators had Ukrainian anthem singer, stick with me here for a second. Where is this tweet? Bad radio, sorry. There we go. Ukrainian-born singer Roman Vashchuk to sing the national anthem for Ukraine prior to the game against Nashville. So we've seen hockey arenas around the country voice their support in favor of Ukraine. And it's good to see that again in times of tragedy, as much as we don't like politics leaking into sports, the sports world can rally around a common cause and get behind the nation of Ukraine. But we will transition out of that off the geopolitical front and back into the strictly hockey world. And we will jump into the Flyers here. We actually have a positive to talk about. The last time we talked, Dave, I believe we had to talk about their seventh loss in a row.
Yes.
Against the St. Louis Blues, 4-1, back on the 22nd of February. But they actually did break that streak. I gave them a jinx in a good way, because I remember saying that they could realistically go on a third 10-game losing streak. They did break that streak against the Washington Capitals last Saturday, the 26th, but it was short-lived as they lost to the Edmonton Oilers on Tuesday night, 3-0. But Washington, the Flyers, I think are actually, knock on wood, they have not lost a game on a Saturday this season, apparently. That's a stat that I heard from, I think it was WP.
They lost on Saturday, the 12th of February, to the Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, well.
Unless it's a home.
If not, maybe they haven't lost at home on Saturdays.
Hold on, I'll double check right now.
I could be wrong.
Nope, that's false.
All right, they have lost on Saturdays, both home and away.
Yeah, there's two losses on Saturdays at home in January already.
Correct.
Anyway, so leave it to WIP to be wrong as per usual.
I don't think I'm not sure if it was WIP, so let's not go after them right away.
Hey, it's WIP.
Let's not jump at their throats too quickly there, Dave.
All right, whoever the miscellaneous source was that messed up Mastro's mind, apologize right away.
I don't know who it was. Actually, you know what I think it was? It was a caller on WIP. So whoever that caller was wrong.
Was it Jim from South Philly?
Probably. It was someone from South Philly or someone from Delco. I don't know. But
Delco.
The next great GM of the Flyers on the phone.
Of course.
But, yeah. So, all right. Forget what I said about the Saturdays, but they did win this past Saturday. They beat the Washington Capitals, ending their six-game skid. Cam Atkinson had a goal and an assist, and Hart made 27 saves for the Flyers. Giroux also tallied a goal 11 seconds into the game as well, which was pretty hype. The Flyers played a good game all around, honestly. The last, 5 minutes of the game was complete chaos. With the Caps just coming in waves against the Flyers in their own zone. And actually, Patrick Brown, I'd say, was the hero of that game, blocking two shots with just the final seconds off the clock in regulation. And then just got group hugged by the whole bench as the final horn sounded. And that was, that's a good win. That was a win where it was exciting. The Flyers didn't blow it at the last second and go to overtime.
Despite their efforts.
So, yeah, but that was a good win against a good team in the Capitals. And then I'll recap again. The Flyers lay an egg. Not really, though. They did everything but score against the Oilers the other night on Tuesday. Where am I trying to go here? There we go. Let's see. They went 0-for-2 on the power play, but they held Edmonton to just one goal on the man advantage on five power plays. So had trouble staying out of the box that night. But of course, Mikko Koskinen gets 39 saves, shuts out the Flyers, his first one in three seasons. It goes back to that age-old tale where it's you need something to end. It's usually going to end against the Flyers, i.e. a goal drought, a shutout drought. You get your first goal. You get your first goal in five seasons, whatever you want. But then again, the usual suspect, Leon Draisaitl, scores the first goal of the game, his 37th of the year. Connor McDavid with 2 points. So, the Flyers, they have 39 shots to Edmonton's 32. They played good. They had their chances, but again, they just couldn't get one past Koskinen. So, it can't really fault them for losing. But again, it just sucks that they got shut out.
Yeah, unfortunately, the only game that I watched was the Oilers game, because Saturday, as you know, Master, we were out and about doing wedding stuff.
Yes.
For my upcoming... Is nuptials right word there?
Technically, you're already married, so...
That's true.
You're doing the we do redo?
Yes, the we do redo.
So.
Yes, but no, out paying for flowers. It's ridiculous how expensive flowers are for weddings. Master, I'm sure you'll find out one day.
That's a long ways away.
I'm just letting you know. Be prepared.
Sounds good.
While it takes a hit. But no, from what I was listening briefly on the radio, it sounded like the Flyers played well. You know, Giroux scoring 11 seconds in. Love to see it. Fantastic. Any goal he scores now in Orange and Black, I'm going to try to remember before he's probably traded off at the deadline in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, they held on. They got the dub. I watched the condensed highlights. They looked pretty decent, except for that third period where they kind of were holding on by the, as Samuel L. Jackson said in Jurassic Park, hold on to your butts. And that's what they did. And they got the win. So that was cool. And then Tuesday night against the Oilers, just, I watched the majority of the game. And when I was watching it, I watched anytime they had a power play. They had a 5-on-3 power play. That was probably the worst power play I've ever watched in the history of hockey. Like, they were only, I think they were, it was either, they were only down by one or tied 0-0 at that point in the game. And I'm like, okay, they score here. They have all the momentum. Edmonton's a shaky team. Let's go. And of course they don't. And then right after the power play ends, Dreisaitl scores. And it's like, okay, all right, that's how the night's going to go. But kudos to the Oilers and Koskinen. You know, Koskinen's been struggling ever since returning over to North America with the Oilers a couple years after being in the KHL for a long time. But ever since the Oilers fired Dave Tippett and hired Jay Raycroft as their head coach, they've been another team. So, I mean, good for the Oilers. It sucks for the Flyers. But at this point in the year, you know, when I turn on the Flyers to watch a game, unfortunately, I'm not expecting them to win, which sucks. So, any win at this point is a pleasant surprise. But for now, I'm going into a game watching them that they're going to lose.
Yeah, I mean, that's a I'm not calling you out here, but that's definitely a crappy attitude to have. But it's kind of it's what we've been reduced to at this point.
Exactly.
So I'm not gonna fault you for having that attitude.
I wish I could go into watching a game and saying the Flyers are going to win tonight. But because of how I've watched them play this year, I have zero confidence in this team to put out a winning effort. And it's because of how they played.
I think for me, it's more having no expectations as opposed to expecting them to lose. But, like, if they lose, it's not anything. If they win, it's not a surprise. Or if they win, it's a surprise. But if they lose, it's not really a surprise.
Yeah, like they lost.
Like,
I'm not angry that they're losing. Like, it's just what I expect to have happened. So, like, I don't care if they win or lose right now. I'm apathetic towards this hockey team. Like, cool, if you win, great, awesome. You made my day a little bit better. But if you're losing, okay, I'm going to turn you off and I'm going to find something else to do.
Yeah, I feel you. But again, big game. I guess you can, I don't know if anything's a big game at this point with where the Flyers are at in the standings, but they have a game tonight.
They do.
Just over a half an hour at the Wells Fargo Center against the Minnesota Wild. The Wild they've been good this year. They have 31 wins, 17 losses, 3 overtime losses. Currently third in the Western Conference Central Division. They are on a 4-game losing streak, though, so dangerous team.
That's about to come to an end tonight.
Yeah, a dangerous team to be up against with the Flyers. But again, I mean, maybe, who knows?
You never know.
Flyers are a crapshoot. I believe Cam Talbot is getting the start in net for the Flyers. And I would assume,
for the Wild, you mean? He's no longer a Flyer.
I was going to say former Flyer. Legend. And then,
so you know he's getting a shutout tonight. That just be the rules.
And then I believe Hart is starting for the Flyers.
Yes.
So good matchup there. Hart and Talbot are actually friends. Which is, I guess, cool, for lack of better terms. But this is actually the first time the Flyers will play the Wild this year. They'll play them again in Minnesota on the 29th of this month to round out March. I have to bring back my, depending on how the Flyers do this month, I have to bring back my March sadness meme that I made last year. So I'll have to see if I can dig that out of my Google Photos.
Yeah, March last year was a brutal month.
Yeah.
They were pretty much in it last year in January and February. And it was really towards the end of February when they got hit with COVID where the wheels kind of fell off the wagon.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's been good. I mean, the past couple of games, we got Derek Brassard back. We got Joel Farabee. So, I mean, Jerry Mayhew has been a pleasant surprise.
Hayes might be coming back Saturday, much to my kind of surprise and disapproval. I had to mute him down
for the season.
Yeah. I posted those thoughts, too, and then Mikey D from Origin Black Pack replied, which then made Charlie O'Connor reply, humble brag. But then, of course, once Charlie O'Connor replies, everyone else replies.
Yeah.
I had to mute notifications.
Flyers Twitter gets into it. You know you're screwed.
Yep. Yeah, so it's like, okay, mute, bye-bye.
But, yeah, so the Flyers tonight against Minnesota, and then they continue their homestand for the next two games.
Chicago on Saturday, and then Vegas on Tuesday.
Correct. Chicago, actually, I might go to that game. I don't know. I'm actually thinking about spending money to watch the Flyers.
I'll be downtown, but not doing that. I'll be at a wedding.
Saturday is actually Marvel Superheroes Day at the Wells Fargo Center.
Didn't they make like a gritty Iron Man comic?
Yeah, they're giving away like a comic cover slash like poster. I also thought like I want to like also I miss going down to the stadiums. Like I haven't been down there in a long time, so I was thinking about making a day out of it where I could maybe spend like the day in the city, go to the game, and then I don't know, just go home. But plus tickets are like $20, so
they lifted the mask
mandate at the Wells Fargo Center and in Philadelphia. I think I've been kind of itching to get back there because the last night was the first Sixers game I watched in forever. I shamelessly tweeted out that I'm hopping on the Sixers bandwagon.
I saw that.
Harden now. So that was exciting to watch them last night. I'll probably keep track of them loosely until the playoffs. Hopefully they can make a nice run with Harden and Embiid and Maxey and all them guys. Sixers guy now, not the brag. but it was funny, like tweeting about basketball compared to hockey. I was just like figuring out kind of like I'm not trying to blow up everyone's feed with like every play, but I know basketball well enough where I can like figure that out. So it was fun getting in the mix on that.
I can't do that because I literally know nothing about basketball except for the fact that the Nets should be higher.
Yeah.
Because these are massive giants who can go this.
I mean, they're 10 feet.
The ball in the hoop. So make the Nets higher. Make it more competitive. I am personally of the ilk with basketball. This is old man who yells at cloud moment right here.
I think I will say I do like college basketball more than the NBA. Yes. And obviously March Madness starts in the next couple of weeks or so. Selection Sunday might even be this weekend. I have to look and see what that's going to be like. And I'm also working the Final Four, not a big deal.
Humble brag.
So I got to get into that just to see. No. Kind of
real quick, before we get back to hockey, my beef with the NBA is that with every single game, unless it's a blowout, you can watch the last minute of the basketball game and see everything you need to see. You will know who the better team was, and you'll know who's going to win.
I mean, I definitely didn't like. I forgot the fact that I didn't forget it, but I just was reminded of the fact that the last 5 minutes of an NBA game takes 25 minutes because depending on how close the game is, teams are going to foul each other to try and get free throws. So that's gonna. It took a while for that game to end, but I was glad to see. I saw it through, and it was cool to see. I mean, I was a big Sixers guy when I was little, a big Dikembe Mutombo fan when I was really young.
I was an AI guy.
Yeah, so I mean, I was into them when I was little, but just kind of lost interest. Sadly, we don't even know when the hell the MLB is going to come back because they can't come to an agreement on a new CBA.
Thanks, Rob Manfred.
So we might not have Phillies baseball for a while, which is a bummer.
Although the Phillies themselves are brutal.
But I mean, still, like this time of year, spring training, and then like
going down to the ballpark on a Friday night.
Yeah, like I mean, I love baseball. Like I'm glad I got back into the Phillies these past couple years. So like, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it again. Baseball has its own problems though, because everyone really cares about like the first month and the last month of the season, where it's like the dog days of the season in like mid July. Like unless your team is doing like really well, you're not really paying attention. Yeah. So it's like, you're kind of have all the games on in the background, unless you're at the actual game, which is always fun to go to.
Oh yeah, because then you can get your buddies. You can go like a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon game. Go down to the ballpark early, tailgate, make a day of it.
Like, I love being at the bank.
Oh, the bank's a great place. You know what's another great place to see a sports event is Subaru Park, where the Union plays. Okay.
Yeah, they just had their first game this past weekend, I think.
Going to the Union game on the 12th.
There you go. Go Union. But that was our Philly sports roundup.
Yes.
Speaking of roundup, we will go around the league now to round out tonight's episode. We'll start with some fresh news hot off the press earlier tonight. If you didn't know, this past Saturday, the Nashville Predators and the Tampa Bay Lightning met on the gridiron, not on the gridiron, on the ice. At the Tennessee Titans,
the icy gridiron
in Nashville, the ice iron, the grid ice, whatever you want to call it. But they took things outside in the stadium series. The Lightning did win. I think it was 3-2, right?
Or 3-1,
something like that. I forget.
We were a little inebriated at PJ Wellhand's during.
Yeah,
the game.
I mean, I recorded the game, but I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet. But I mean. From what we watched, it was very chippy, which was awesome. It was cool to see. I mean,
didn't Patrick Maroon fight twice?
Yeah, there was a lot of fights. There was always a scrum after the whistle. There were some big hits, which was cool to see. So that was actually like a good physical game. But the Lightning did win. The Lightning also won the jersey battle. Nashville's jerseys again fell short, thumbs down. But we will have the Heritage Classic later this month in Ontario against
on Sunday.
Yes, is it Sunday? No. So it was later in March. Yeah,
Sunday the 13th.
But that's the Buffalo Sabres against the Toronto Maple Leafs. We talked about that last week, so you can go hear about that. But we have our next stadium series for next year announced already. The 2023 stadium series will be the Carolina Hurricanes playing the Washington Capitals at Carter Finley Stadium on the campus of North Carolina State University in Raleigh, North Carolina, on February 18th. The NHL announced this at the All-Star Game that the Hurricanes would host the game, but did not reveal the opponent or date until earlier today. So that'll be cool. The 2023 Stadium Series will be the Hurricanes' first outdoor game, making them the 28th NHL team to play in one. They were supposed to host the Stadium Series at the same stadium back in 2021, but that was canceled because of the Rona. So that'll be interesting to see. I think, we saw with the Big House in Michigan, that Winter Classic with the Toronto and Detroit. That's like the cool. That was one of the coolest games ever. But let's see. I'm trying to think. Does it say what the capacity? Oh, 55,000 plus seats in that stadium. So that should be a good crowd. Obviously, with us, I guess, can we say that we're coming out of COVID at this point?
Who knows? I mean, hopefully, I will loosely, fingers crossed. But
I will say that statement very loosely.
Yes.
But, I mean, hey, I guess it's good that it's outdoors because then people can breathe in the fresh air. But they did, like I said, they did get rid of the mask mandates at the Wells Fargo Center and down in Philadelphia. So it's all again. It's all
based off, now we're entering into our science topic of the evening. But real quick, based off of the numbers that you're seeing of hospitalizations and case numbers, they are all trending downwards. And in fact, in some parts of the country, including this region, they're at the lowest it's been in almost 2 years. So things are trending in the correct direction.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
Love to
so
see
hopefully
it,
we'll have a full house for that game. On the Capitals side of thing, this will be their fourth outdoor game. They've won their previous three appearances. They defeated the Penguins at the 2011 Winter Classic at Heinz Field, the Blackhawks 3-2 at the Winter Classic in 2015 at Nationals Park in D.C., and then they lost? I don't know. Whatever. But they're 3-1 in their whatever. Wait, they're 3-0. Sorry. They beat the Maple Leafs 5-2 in the 2018 Stadium Series at the Annapolis Stadium in Maryland. So, I mean, this should be a good matchup. The NHL also previously announced that the Bruins are going to host the 2023 Winter Classic at Fenway Park. No date has been announced yet. No opponent as well. But that seems like a possible opportunity to do a rematch of the Flyers-Bruins.
I've heard other sources though saying that it's probably going to be Bruins-Penguins, which is just boring.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else could be.
The NHL is just, they need to get more other teams involved. They're like recycling the same
Bruins teams. Maple Leafs, maybe?
Bruins Habs yet again would be good.
There's really not anyone they have like a rivalry with in the West.
Yeah. It's got to be an Eastern Conference team.
Bruins Rangers?
I mean, hell, no. The Panthers? Their division maybe. Rival?
The I was going to say, maybe they keep it. Game yet. I think again, you need a good market on both sides. But Florida, I mean, Florida's turned into a good market. They're second in the Atlantic. They're killing it.
Oh, the team's good. The fan base is still.
Yeah, I guess there's options. But hell, 28 out of the 32 teams have played in games at this point outside. It's like you have to recycle matchups at some point.
Well, it's to a problem when there was barely any marketing for this last weekend's Stadium Series between Tampa and Nashville. And ratings TV-wise were like the lowest they've ever been for outdoor games this year. So the fans early turn of the NHL were over this. Now it's a gimmick. Find something new.
Yeah, I mean, it takes away from the specialty of the outdoor game when there's three of them a year. Like it used to obviously be the Winter Classic, but again, that was so popular where can't really blame the NHL for being like, hey, let's do more of this, like, in different locations. Like,
it is too much of a good thing can be a bad thing.
Exactly.
Unless you go to the game, then it's an absolute riot and you're having
too much of anything. Yeah. Too much of anything is bad. I was going to say, like, if we were complaining about the Winter Classic just being that, we wouldn't have been at the Stadium Series, the Flyers and the Penguins at the Link. So, I mean, unless, like you said, I think it's better, like any sport, if you're at the actual game as opposed to watching it on TV.
Or if it's your team that you root for, then you're fine with it.
Exactly. So there's pros and cons. But again, too much of anything is bad for you. But again, we will get back to our around the league here. What else? We had a goalie goal last night. That's what I was going to talk about.
We did. I did see that.
First one in a while. Anaheim Ducks prospect Lucas Dostal scored an empty netter with 19 seconds left in the third period for the San Diego Gulls. They're the AHL affiliate of the Ducks in a 5-2 win against Colorado. Last night, he's the first goalie in the history of the Ducks organization to score a goal, and also he was named the AHL Player of the Week. He also made 50 saves during the game as well. So, I mean, just a hell of a night for him. He was a third-round pick in the 2018 NHL draft, saying he saw an opportunity and went for it. Quote said, "I think the puck hit the glass, and just in order, it was quite slow. So I saw all the guys on the red line, so I just thought, like, yeah, let's try it. Let's stop the puck. Then I took a look, and all the guys were on the blue line, so I was like, if it's not going to go to the goal, it's going to end up somewhere in the neutral zone. But luckily, I got under it, and it just shot over it, and it was a fun moment." He said he tried to score a goal playing for Ilves in Finland's Liga, but missed by about 10 to 15 centimeters. According to the AHL, he's the 17th goalie in league history to achieve the feat, with the last goal occurring on December 17th, 2021, by Rockford's Colin Delia, who's a Chicago Blackhawks prospect. The last NHL
at this point.
Yes. The last NHL goalie goal was scored by Pekka Rinne on the Nashville Predators back on January 9th of 2020 against the Chicago Blackhawks. And then we've had a couple attempts as well this year with Rangers goalie Igor Shesterkin barely missed one against the Senators back on February 20th. So Lucas Dostal, with his time in the spotlight and his spot in the history books as a goalie to score a goal, which is always, I mean, you love to see it, as I say.
Oh, can't confirm. I saw it live last night after post-men's league, and it brings a smile to your face. And I don't know if you watched the play fully, Matt, but if you focus on Dostal after he fires the puck, he literally almost falls over forward from his momentum of trying to sauce the puck.
Yeah.
So, no, it's awesome. And he's a hell of a goalie, too. Like, and he's Anaheim's top-rated goalie prospect. He has gotten into a couple games this year, but, like, Anaheim, with their prospect pool of riches. Like, they've got John Gibson now as a starting goalie, and they've got this kid now in the minors. Like, Sucking for a long time leads to riches.
Yep.
No, good for Daskal. And it's always nice to see a goalie goal. We need more of them.
I think with that being said, Dave, that kind of does it for around the league for me, unless you have anything pressing that you want to say. But I think we can kind of wrap this up.
Yeah, no, I got nothing else to say.
Cool. Actually, but before we go, we were going to continue our weekly segment of random hockey player. So Dave, if you've got yours, I'll let you go first. And cause I have yet to think of one, but I'll try and get one on the fly here before we end the thing. So I'll let you go first and, give us your name and a few fun facts or stats about your player.
I'm going to go with a player who's another former Flyers defenseman, towering big Danish defenseman, Oliver Lordson. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He was a player who, again, us those in Flyers Twitter overhyped, and he literally was nothing. He was a flash in the pan. He played the most of his games with the Flyers in that lockout short season, the same season the Flyers traded for Steve Mason. And then, poof, he was gone. But for a while there, we thought we had like the next Zdeno Chara. We're like, oh, him and Sam Morin, let's go. This is going to be great. And then, no. Just no.
I like it. I'm actually going to go with a former Flyers prospect as well. I'm going to go with Mike Testweed. So,
former Adirondack Phantom, great.
Yes. He was actually not. He went undrafted, but signed a 2-year ELC with the Flyers back on March 19th of 2010, after playing 4 seasons with Colorado College. He was with the Adirondack Phantoms, but was traded to the Calgary Flames for Mitch Wall. He went to the he actually played in the he's currently playing in the Asia League Ice Hockey. That is what the league is called. It's
the what?
The ALH, the Asia League Ice Hockey. He currently he most recently played a season, the 2019-20 season, with the Damyung Killer Whales, with 32 points in 35 games. Oh wait, sorry. 21 points in 35 games, and also represented the South Korean national ice hockey team at the 2018 Olympics in Pyeongchang. So he's actually granted citizenship of South Korea due to his exemplary athletic ability. This is according to Wikipedia. But Mike Testweed, a man of many, many teams. So had a cup of coffee with the Flyers.
Same thing as with Oliver Lordson here. Yes. Drafted 196th overall in 2009. He's currently now playing for the Malmö Red Wings in the SHL in Sweden. And, he's played for the Flyers, for Frölunda in the Swedish League, and Jokerit in the KHL. So he's kind of been all about that Europe life since leaving the Flyers.
Yes, I mean, that's a pair of good players there. Good to keep it Flyers themed, because, again, the Flyers are about to start here in a few minutes. But with that being said, again, Dave, we'll wrap it up for this week, and we'll both get to watching some hockey here, whether good or bad. So I'll throw it over to you, as usual, to take us home.
Yes, thank you. Always a great episode, as always. A weekly reminder for our listeners to make sure you do check out our wonderful affiliates, the Pod Street Bullies. Great guys over there. Make sure you do listen. Derek was just recently at a Tuesday wedding in Mexico. Who does that? A Tuesday wedding? Come on, gang. Get together.
Of some people.
But you know what? I guess if it gets you a long weekend in Mexico, why not, right? But anyway, check out the Pod Street Bullies. Of course, you know, John, Derek, Matt, Casey, and of course,
Hoagie.
What a guy. Love him. But with that, everyone, thank you for listening as always. We will be back next week with, who knows, maybe some more crazy news. Maybe the Flyers or something drastic. The trade deadline is within 2 weeks away, so things could get spicy. start keeping an eye out for the verified check marks. Do not get spoiled by the fake Twitter bots with fake trades, everyone. That's your reminder on that matter. But with that, we will say good night, good hockey, and let's go Flyers.